At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be ashamed.
There's two ways, if anybody wants to know, there's two ways to get under Steiny's skin. One way is to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. The other way is to reveal the truth about Larry Bird. Especially in the year 1981. I did some digging.
They won the title. All right. They won the championship. You know what? Stats are for losers. You look at stats when you lose. You do not look at stats when you win.
All right, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Thank you.
Between games four and six.
I'm
going to
knock him out right now.
9 points on 28% shooting. He only got to the free throw line 8 times in 3 games.
That was his second year in the league.
When he got absolutely carried by Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. This actually makes sense because we interviewed him one time and he told me, flippantly I might add, I didn't play with Larry Bird. Larry Bird played with me.
That's Cedric for you. That's
and
Cornbread.
Now I know why.
That's Cornbread. That's who he is. We love Cornbread.
Dude, he had 2 single-digit games in the finals.
Look at his rebounds. Look at his assists.
Oh, my God. He would have been raked over the coals.
And then he would have stuck it in all your faces because they won the title. They came back from 3-1 against the Sixers. They beat the Sixers, winning 3 in a row, and then they... Houston was like an exhibition series after the Eastern Conference Finals.
You had a 10-turnover game in that series,
hey,
by the way.
Hey, Evan.
Yep.
I don't think that's right.
Quit talking about Curry being loose with the ball. Jesus.
Okay, stop.
All right.
That's enough.
I'll let it go.
Here's one thing I was thinking, and it kind of came up with Moody.
Okay.
You know, development of a young player. All right, development of a young player. And there's some people out there that don't think the Warriors do a great job of it, whatever. Mm-hmm. There are others that say they do a great job of it. Let me ask you a question, everybody out there. Jalen Green, right, he's 22 years old, right?
Yep.
How's he going to get better?
He's going to stop doing Wingstop commercials.
It's up to him to get better. It's not up to the organization. Jalen Green needs to get into the gym two straight years and shoot 700 shots a day. Like, that's it. And you know what? If he calls up an assistant coach and it's 11 o'clock at night and he wants to get 500 shots up, the coach will meet him there and rebound for him. My point is, it's on the player. It's on the player to get better. The coaches can guide you, but you got to have the motivation.
Would you say that these are the formative years, like ages 20 to 25, and then you kind of get into your prime, right? Jalen Green has not gotten better in 3 years. He averaged 22 points in his age 27 season, his age 20 season. He shot 42% from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 34% from three, and he averaged 4 assists per game.
All right.
2 years later, now in 2025, he averaged 21 points per game on 42% shooting, 35 from three, so a little better, and 3.5 assists per game. He has not gotten any better between when he came into the league and now. And that's with starting 310 basketball games. So I'm not saying that Green, maybe he can improve on defense, could take a step forward as perhaps a better shooter. But I kind of think this is also why this series is important for Houston. It's his first time in the playoffs, and it is very much you see what you get, or you get what you see with Jalen Green.
But, yeah, and I like Jalen Green. He's a really good young player.
Now, why do you like him?
Why do I like Jalen Green?
Because I hear that a lot about players like him.
Because his athleticism is significant. And I've seen him now play for enough years that I realize he's got the skill set to be a better player. He can become a better shooter. He can become a better decision maker, and he can become a better passer. But to me, if they lose this series, and I think already the writing's starting to be on the wall, look at his last 4 or 5 games. Right now, he can be defended. Because if he's not making an outside shot and you can keep him out of the lane, he's going to struggle. So, and I don't know if he's going to do it or not, but it's up to Jalen Green, as Guru would say, to get into the lab and become a better shooter first. Because to me, if he becomes a better shooter, the rest of his game will get better too.
Yeah, and he's going to have to do that in the summer. It's a reason why I like the Warriors coming into this series to win. It's because in many ways, their ceiling is dictated by Jalen Green. And granted, most of the games he's played against the Warriors, outside of their last meeting, he hasn't played particularly well. But I don't think that he gives them enough of a ceiling to beat a team like Golden State. If he's supposed to be your best perimeter player, it's going to be trouble because, like we talked about why Steve Kerr plays the players he does, because he trusts them, they have their roles, and I think he knows what they're going to give him. Ime Udoka has no way to foresee what he's going to get from Jalen Green. Green could be a player that scores 40 in game two. I doubt it, but he could. He could also have 7 points for what, a fifth consecutive game, essentially, or maybe his last four. But he's too much of a roller coaster ride, and that's why basically their chances kind of hinge on Şengün, because he's their most dependable player.
The other reason I like Green is because the guy's been in the league 4 years, and he is a proven 20-point-per-game guy. Like, that is to me, that's a significant threshold. If you can score 20, and I'm not using 20, I mean, it could be 18, it could be 22, it could be 17 or 20, you know, but you're getting 20 a game. That does not mean nothing in the NBA. Like, it's not easy to get 20 a game, especially when you come into the league at 19 and you do it as a 20-year-old. So,
well, they won 52 games this year. That's also not nothing.
Exactly. So he's in his same year as Kuminga. And he's got every, like, I don't see why he wouldn't get better. I don't know anything about his attitude or his work ethic, but, you know, and miss me with the Kuminga stuff, because this guy came into the league and averaged 17, then went to 22, 19, and 21. And I know people are going to say, well, if Kuminga, no. Those numbers are too big. Those numbers are too big for Kuminga to get to, I think. But you know what? I don't want to open up the phone lines for that.
Oh,
for
yeah. Sure.
What else was I going to say about the
Moody interview?
Yeah, the Moody interview.
Well, I mean, what kind of struck you listening to him? I know it's a little choppy. Outside of listening to what we think was Jimmy Butler in the background playing Domino.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Well, the one thing it felt like is, yeah, he's had an adjustment since Butler's come. And I think it has made him a little more tentative. But I think that's starting to dissipate. I think he knows it. And this is so big. He knows his role on this team. He knows exactly what they need of him. And to me, he's a player. I mean, think about this for a minute. What does he do great?
Moody?
Yeah, great.
Great?
I would say nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing great. Okay. But...
he does everything well.
And the one thing that there was a question about, I thought... I mean, there's still questions about him, but how come he's playing so much? Because he got better defensively. Period. That's why Moses Moody plays as much as he does. And because he knows his exact role on this team. He knows what a good three is for him and what a not so good three is for him. He knows if he wants to go to the hole, he's not going to be able to beat his man one-on-one, spin and reverse layup. I'm not saying he can't do that once in a while, but that's not really who he is. So he understands his game. And when you really understand your game and you're playing with a team that understands it and vice versa, it's a great thing. It's not about how many points he gets or how many rebounds he gets. Like, Moses Moody has turned into a player that I feel like, well, you know what you can expect from him. Like, and I'm not, like, a professional effort. That's what you're going to get out of Moses Moody every single game, every single minute. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think other side of the same coin, but he sounds like a player that's coming to his own. And the reason is he speaks with, and he's allowed to do this now, but I think the confidence that he's always had, but he's smart enough to understand where he is, even when he hasn't had the role of a starting forward for the Warriors. Like, he's never talked like, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. But he is very prescient. And when he's talked before, I've heard a player that's been, well, you know, I've had to go through this. I've had to be able to stomach that. There's not very many of those answers anymore for Moody. He is less looking at the past than he is the present and the future. And I think that's because he has come into his own. He knows exactly what he can do, what he can provide for this team, and he's allowed to apply it now, and we're seeing it in real time, as opposed to before where he'd get an opportunity and then he'd have to go to the podium and someone, and I've asked him a question like this before of, well, hey, Moses, you know, do you feel like you've broken through? Like, do you feel like you've turned a corner? Do you think your role is in some way cemented? And he'll have to say, well, this is the NBA, and, you know, I've had a long journey, and it's taken me a long time to get here, and I know it can be taken away just that fast. And it's like, there's none of that in his voice, it feels like, anymore, because he's earned the role he's gotten, and it's now a part of a basketball team that's won 24 of 32 games with him as a starter since Jimmy Butler's gotten here. So to me, he just sounds like a guy that is, he can be done with the role jockeying. Like, he knows exactly where he stands with this organization.
Well, I feel like now Moody's, if you look at the Warriors roster, and I'm not saying yesterday was the first day, but if you look at the Warriors roster right now, they need Moody. Like, they need him. Whereas before, it felt like he was, first of all, not good enough to command as many minutes as he played now, but it's just a learning process. He has become, does anybody out there not think Moses Moody has gotten better?
Well, that's why I'd push back a little bit on people. And I understand the argument that, well, if he'd been given opportunity, he would have gotten here quicker. And I'm not so sure about that. Maybe people could be true about that. But if Moses Moody, like, I don't think he could have been this player that we saw in game one of the first round against Houston 365 days ago. I don't believe that he could have been the same guy that could step into a game that he hadn't made a single shot in and knock down two big shots to help the Warriors win a playoff game. And it's because it's taken time, it's taken development, and it's because of him. So I think you got to tip your cap and appreciate what we're seeing in real time and not think about the what ifs and what could have happened, because I don't think he would have been able to make that play last year.
He might not have been in the game.
Well, he wouldn't have been in the game because Wiggins was on the team. But, and that's a big part of it too. Like, he didn't really have a runway, and granted he was playing, but he didn't have as much of a runway when Wiggins was on this team. And he sort of replaced him as the primary number one defender. And they're different players, but that's now his role. He's assumed it. And I think he's taken full advantage of it.
The, you know, going back to Jalen Green for a second, too, who's also 22. I think the numbers are the numbers and the numbers are the numbers. And now he's playing in the postseason for the first time. And if they get beat, there's going to be a reason that the Rockets got beat, and every player's got to look at himself. And then at that point, that's how you take the next step. You get beat, and you don't make your outside shot, and the lane is just too crowded, and you have you struggle in a series, and then you get beat, and guess what? You go to work in the off season, and then you alleviate some of that problem as you move along in your career. So I don't know what kind of work ethic Jalen Green has, but I think it's up to him to get better. I think it's up to Moody to get better, and he has. I think it's up to the individual to get better.
Yeah, I mean, look, the coaches are there, but I don't know. I don't look at it the same way as college. Like, if a guy makes a leap, like Jordan Poole made a leap between, what was it, his second and third season or third and fourth season, whenever he helped him win a championship.
Right.
We heard the stories about the key card and him being the first in and last out. Like, that was on him. You know, obviously the Warriors staff probably, helped him a lot, but he had to go out there and do it. And to his credit, he did. And he helped them win a championship. It's just, it's funny. We were talking about Jalen Green, and it was making me think also, because Filmo and Mike brought it up, about another Rockets player, is James Harden. Like, you saw James never got over on the Warriors, but he got better like every single year. And I think a big reason for that was because of how early he ran into Golden State and his playoff, shortcomings, honestly. He was 25 years old when they first met in the Western Conference Finals. From there, his scoring averages went up. His assist averages went up. His volume of three-pointers went up. And that's why I think he's one of the best players of this generation to not win a championship. And people may not like his style, but you clearly saw him become a better version of himself. And I think a big reason for that was because the Warriors made him.
Yeah, and I think I kind of think the player he is now is kind of perfect alongside Kawhi Leonard. I mean, a good team is getting eliminated in that series. I mean, I don't know who the top four are, but that's got to be two of the top four teams in the West. And whoever comes out of it is going to be a factor.
I am starting to rethink.
Well,
no.
They got to play Oklahoma City, though.
Yeah, but I'm starting to rethink my original, approach to this postseason was, OKC's just going to run. I think whoever comes out of that series is going to upset the Thunder.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, they're really good. Both of those teams are really good. Either one team that has the best player in basketball is going to win, or the team in the Clippers, which might have the best starting five in the league, is going to win. At least in the West. Kawhi Leonard, if he's that player, it's going to be really difficult to stop them.
Well, let's take it a step further.
Okay.
Let's say that does happen. Clippers, Oklahoma City in the second round, and the Clippers win in six or seven games.
Yeah.
Here's what I think's a joke. The Thunder will get killed. They will get absolutely lambasted.
By either of those teams?
No, by the fans and the media everybody, and people will be talking about what do they do now, and they need to make some decisions, or somebody will, there'll be overarching agreement that, they can't get it done. And I don't know. The one thing I've always felt is sometimes it takes some time. If they were to lose to the Clippers, I wouldn't necessarily think, uh-oh, OKC, they can't go forward with this group. No, you got beat by two of the all-time greats, and they have a hell of a team, and they're very well coached, and maybe the playoffs are a little different, and OKC's going to have to adjust in the long run. But you watch, if Oklahoma City gets beat by the Clippers or Denver, they're going to... They need to do something different, and I wouldn't even be close to being there at this point.
I mean, they just won 68 games. Like, I don't even... that's one where you, I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, we're not good enough. Like, it's one where you probably just view the other team as being better than you. Like, Kawhi Leonard's one of the best postseason performers in play in history of basketball. Like, he missed four shots last night. I'm sorry, if he's playing that level of basketball, you're not beating them. Just like if Nikola Jokic is going to average a 30-point triple-double like he did for a runner-up MVP season, you're probably not going to beat them either.
Right.
You know, and the Warriors, that's where the Warriors caught. I actually want to stop saying that. They caught a break because they did, in a way, choose that path. They couldn't beat the Clippers in the finale, so they had to play against Memphis, and to their credit, they threaded the needle perfectly. If they have to beat both OKC and then one of the Clippers and the Nuggets, they only got to beat one of them now. Like, the West is a freaking bear.
It is, and I hear what you're saying, but I also think that if the Warriors advance, it does, like Minnesota and the Lakers, you know, they're going to have to...
No, they're going to be tough games.
Right, and yes, I would agree with you that if Oklahoma City plays the Clippers and the Warriors play Minnesota or the Lakers, yes, the Warriors will take that opponent rather than either of the two on the other side of the bracket. But neither of those teams is chopped liver, the Lakers or Minnesota, and then you're still going to have to go through one of them anyway. And then if you even do all that, there might be Boston sitting there waiting for you. But we're getting ahead of ourselves on 95.7 The Game, because game two is just tomorrow night in the first round.
Well, Moody said they're going to win. I mean, I'm just taking his word.
He did not say that. He said we're better.
I'm putting words in his mouth.
When did he get so cocky?
Well, I basically said it's a massive disappointment if we blow this series. That was my interpretation.
All righty. Warriors postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament. It's on Monday, April 28th, Stone Tree Golf, and it's presented by ATCO Pest Control. I'll be there along with Guru, and we will be broadcasting live 10 to 2. And if you want to play golf, go to 957thegame.com and click on the events page to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. What's coming up next on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we're getting you ready for game two tomorrow, Wednesday, 6:30, Warriors-Rockets. This one, just start out this segment this way. 415 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Sorry, but if the Clippers push through Oklahoma City and beyond, it further cements the notion that the regular season doesn't matter. Exhibit A, Kawhi Leonard. And I would add to that, sorry, but if the Warriors push through Minnesota or the Lakers, it further cements the notion that the regular season doesn't matter. Exhibit B, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler.
Perhaps. I mean,
he missed a lot of games. He joined a team pretty fresh.
He was. Kawhi was. But you still needed everybody else to help get you there. I mean, I know it sounds crazy at this point because they were dead in the water, but like, you had to start 13-2 or 12-3.
Yeah.
You had to get off to that good start to give yourself at least a little bit of cushion. And I know that Kawhi has played, you know, zilch, but James Harden started 79 games this year. Zubac started 80 games this year. Norman Powell played 60 games this year. So Kawhi played the 37. He's obviously their best player. He's what gets them over the top into contention. But I would not say the regular season is irrelevant.
Not irrelevant. But I would try to consider ways to make the regular season more important, and not with what's the Emirates platter, whatever it
the
is.
The cup?
Yeah. None of that says really do it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's fun for some.
Here's one.
Pat Spencer's.
Here's one I wanted to talk about today. So Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Mavericks.
What about him?
He pulled off a small trade a couple months ago. Traded Luka Doncic for
Quentin Grimes,
Anthony Davis. And the result has been not good in Dallas. He's getting raked over the coals, and he's just, it's a nightmare for him. So listen to what he said, and I want to ask you a question, Evan. This is him talking about Luka, and yeah, he was a big-time fan favorite.
Didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level, but really the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so unfortunately we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to go on and on.
All right, so here's my question. And let's forget, or let's assume that he tried to trade Luka to a few places.
Yeah.
Okay. So the statement was, I knew Luka meant a lot, but I didn't know it was at that level, meaning fan favorite.
Yep.
Okay. Let's say he did know it. Should he have not made the move? Should he have not made a move that he wanted to make because, hey, Nico, the fans love Luka more than you think. I mean, the fans. Like, because I almost feel like if right now he acknowledges, oh my God, I didn't realize he was such a fan favorite, he might not have done it. But yeah. Why not?
I think he still would have done it. Now, before we get into it, he shouldn't have done it. Like, that's not a trade that you make if you value your job, I think. If you're in it for the long run, trading a generational player at age 25 is not the way to... Like, he may only want to do this job for another couple of years anyways, and his job was to win a championship as quickly as possible. But if Nico Harrison wanted to be the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks for the next 20 years, as crazy as it might sound, there's no way in hell you make that trade. You just don't do it. So I don't think he should have, but regardless, I don't think that would have changed his mind. To me, he's admitting that he's out of touch. And he's also admitting that I think the high castle that he and the owner, Patrick Dumont, sit in is removed from reality. Like, if he seriously did not know what Luka Doncic meant to the Dallas Mavericks, he shouldn't have that job in the first place.
One thing I'm interested in is you say it was like the trade was made, what, 2-3 months ago?
Yeah.
And you just, like right now, that was a bad trade. So there's nothing that could happen that would not make it a bad trade.
Anything short of a championship, yeah, it's a bad trade.
All right.
Like, do you think that the Dallas Mavericks can win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years? By the way, Kyrie's going to be out for most of next season. He just tore his ACL. He's 34. He's also a free agent.
Could they win it? No, they got as much of a chance as any of the top 12 teams, let's say. And I took 12 because I'm taking 8 in the West and 4 in the East.
How could it? The only way it can be a good trade is if you win a title.
Yeah, and no, they're not the favorites to win a title, but we were just talking about this. I mean, Kyrie Irving misses half the year. Maybe that.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love. or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's a blessing in disguise for that team. Kind of like when Clay came back after missing 50 games. You know how much that contract was going to be?
A lot.
$365 million.
Yep. Price of the bricks going up, Steiny.
That's like five times 80. So that's $75 million a year about. And they weren't sold.
But you choosing to not pay that amount of money might have set your franchise back by a decade. Because Anthony Davis is injury prone. He's also moving towards he's on the back half of his career, probably. Kyrie Irving certainly is. Clay certainly is. You don't have much of anything to work with outside of them. And I don't think it necessarily made you like leaps and bounds better. Compare that trade to the Jimmy Butler trade. Like the Mavericks have no plan B, I believe. The Warriors, I think, have a plan B if the Butler trade had gone sideways, which it hasn't.
Well, I think what Dallas was saying is, in a perfect world, if we get a great AD and we trade Luka to the Lakers, we have a better chance at a title.
Sure. No, I believe that's what he thought.
He got hurt, and it didn't work. I told you my theory on Luka, didn't I?
I feel like you have a lot of them.
I do.
But which one is today?
How old is he?
25.
Going on 33.
Oh, because he played a lot of pro ball?
Yeah.
Well, Steiny... You know, I know you do follow the AAU circuit as well. You know, players also play a lot of basketball games.
How many AAU guys get a 5-year contract at 13 years old?
Not many, because there aren't many that are good enough.
So would you say he's been playing pro basketball since he was 13?
I thought it was like 14. 15, but sure. Yeah. Young age.
And he's 14 and he starts playing against like grown men or guys who are older than him.
So you're saying
I'm saying I think he's a little like cynical about the game of basketball.
Well,
I
what's
think
the difference of, like, let's say he played, I don't know, 50 games a year for 5 years before he got to the NBA. What's the difference between playing 50 games a year on the AAU circuit and...
Because he played in the pros, like over there.
Yeah, so that should just mean that he's better by the time he gets to the NBA.
Maybe better, yes, and I think that's correct, but I also think there's probably a wear and tear physically and maybe even mentally that...
But with the way
he's been doing this for over a decade, essentially.
Yeah, but I think that's the same for a lot of American kids because of how much specialized sports they play. You know, they don't play two or three sports anymore. They play their one sport, and they run themselves into the ground trying to get better at that sport. So whether you're doing it in Europe or America, I guess I would push back against that. But I hear it.
I mean, he was a protege. He was playing against older guys when he was younger. He was a phenom out of the gate. I don't know. Let me ask you this. How much do you, like, and I get it. I'm viewing it from afar. He doesn't, like, I wouldn't put him in my top 10 list of players who love the game. I don't know.
I think from that standpoint, your detailing of his prior career is probably the reason why. Like, he's always been good. He's never had to, like, he's always been able to win. You know, he won championships in Europe, right? At his young age.
My guess would be
he did.
Right.
And if not, he probably came really close.
Let me ask you this. How much better of a career has Doncic had than Trae Young?
A better career. I mean, his team was in the finals last year. He's been to multiple Western Conference finals. He plays in a tougher conference, and he's made the All-NBA team every year but his rookie season. First team, sorry.
Who's a better defender?
Yes. I mean, no. Sorry. the answer is no. I don't know. Like, do you think that Trae Young has had a comparable career to Luka Doncic?
He's a notch below. But... You know, he played in an Eastern Conference final for whatever that's worth.
Well, you said, was it yesterday? Because I was with you yesterday. I don't think Trae Young's all that in a bag of chips.
No, me neither.
Doncic is, you got to admit, Doncic.
If you were asking me,
good.
I want Doncic or do I want Trae, I'm taking Doncic.
Luka Doncic is sensational.
What about the defense?
Well, Curry didn't start playing defense until 3 years ago.
He tried.
I know he tried.
What about this? What about the five plays a game where he goes into the lane, doesn't get the foul call, and the other team's got a 5-on-4 with him laying in the backcourt, like trying to get up? Anyway.
I think he's so great that a lot of his flaws stand out. You know, it's just what happens. But I get it. He's one of those players that is unmistakably awesome, but you don't know if he's good enough. Like, is he a player that can lead a team to a championship?
What?
That has not been proven yet, and what? I'll give you that.
How about this? Can Luka Doncic get any better?
I mean, you would hope.
I don't know how.
He needs to talk to Moses Moody and widen his stance.
He's got
to be quicker off his first step.
That's the other thing.
Put down the cigarette pack.
I think he's more of a finished product at 25 than most 25-year-olds.
Yeah, but his finished product is averaging 38-8.
I get it.
You know, mm-hmm. Look, I know, it, like, dude, are you seriously here to defend Nico Harrison?
No, the reason I brought it up was he said, I didn't realize this town loved him as much as they did. I knew they loved him, but I didn't realize to the extent. Okay, now you know the extent. So you shouldn't trade him because he's a super duper fan favorite?
No. I agree with that.
That's all I'm asking.
Like, the fans in this trade to me were completely irrelevant. Like, that's a little bit of a cop out. He was going to deal him no matter what. I don't care. The fans could have thought that he was was Christ risen a couple days ago. I mean, he was going to trade him because he had made up his mind. And so saying that he didn't understand what the fans felt about Luka to me is, I feel like it's a little disingenuous.
Yeah, I got you. I'm just throwing that out there. By the way, what do we got here? Oh, we got six.
Okay. Want to do the player polls?
Yeah, we can do that.
The Warriors are all over.
So, which is the best one? There's a couple of these. The Athletic put out, they survey 100, almost 200 players, and they asked them questions like, who's the most overrated? Who's the most underrated? Best organization? Worst coach in the NBA? Et cetera. All right. Who do you think NBA players think is the most overrated player in the league?
Kristaps Porzingis.
Kristaps Porzingis. No, the answer is, and I'll just, no, that's MVP. Hold on. The answer is,
I know who it is.
Tyrese Haliburton. He got 14%. 90 players cast a vote. Here are the top six most overrated players, according to probably overrated players, but to NBA players. Haliburton, Gobert, Trey Young, and how about this one for number four?
Oh, boy.
Jimmy Butler. Number five, Bradley Beal. And how about this one? Number six, Draymond Green.
And then you talking to me.
And then seventh is Ja Morant. I'll just go down the list. Julius Randle, Joel Embiid, Giannis, Dylan Brooks, Paul George, Tyler Hero, Drew Holiday. Oh, boy. Anyway, Kyle Kuzma's all. Sabonis, of course.
All of those actually make sense to me, and I'll just go down the list. Tyrese Haliburton, right? He's number one?
Yes.
He made the Olympic team. People don't think he's that good, especially off a kind of a bit of a flawed playoff run last year. Gobert, obvious. He's got four DPOYs. No one thinks he should have more than, I don't know, maybe one or two. Trey Young, we just discussed him. He's multiple notches below Luka Doncic, but some people put him in the same conversation. Jimmy Butler is an interesting one, but I also think it's because players don't look at him as someone that should have the cachet that he, or the power that he has displayed throughout his career. Like, Jimmy Butler is a damn good basketball player. He's a superstar in a lot of people's minds, but he's pretty much dictated the terms of engagement wherever he's been.
I also think that if you're an NBA player, you might look at Jimmy Butler and say, you know, the guy acts like he's won a title. And he hasn't, so he's overrated. Bradley Beal, that's
self-explanatory. Him and LeBron are the only two with no trade clauses. Draymond, people don't think he'd be what he'd be if he wasn't in Golden State. Ja.
I think Ja's a fair one.
I agree. No, people used to talk about him like he was face of the league. Randall, 100%. Knicks were better without him last year. Embiid, people just probably believe he's broken. Giannis, I don't know. From there, it gets kind of interesting, but.
Yeah, it feels like we go after Giannis, then we go to kind of role player-ish guys who.
Kind of surprised Paul George isn't higher, but.
Yeah. That's true. So
I mean, the Clippers are looking like they might make a run without him.
And let's be honest, when we say Draymond Green is the sixth most overrated player, it only really means that four of 90 players said Draymond Green was the most overrated.
Also, some of the answers for the rest of this poll were, like, I think you want to make your point about the coaches?
Oh, and you know me, I always like to have fun and say, you know, it's funny, the players really don't know the game. So they asked all the players who the worst coach in the league was. Here's all you need to know. Three of the top five have won titles. Mike Budenholzer, Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse. And poor Brian Keefe from Washington. You think the players know if he's a good coach or not?
I'm surprised they knew his name.
They probably didn't. They probably said, who's Washington? Who's the worst coach in the league? Who's coaching Washington?
Well,
Adam Keefe. Of course, that's the Stanford product.
Like, don't get me wrong. I appreciate all the players participating in this. And I think Sam Amick with someone else from The Athletic also helped put this together. So shout out to them. But the fact that, because there was also a poll about, like, who's the most feared player in the NBA? Well, it's James Johnson. Why he does Muay Thai or kickboxing and he's a mountain of a man. He doesn't play. So number one, you don't have to worry about finding him on a court because he's not allowed. He generally doesn't step on it. Number two, there was a quote about the second most feared player in the NBA, which is Isaiah Stewart. And the quote was, yeah, the guy in Detroit went after LeBron. Like, they don't even know his name. They just saw a highlight of a guy who wasn't afraid to try and fight LeBron James. So I can guarantee you with Keith, they're like, yeah, it's probably that Wizards guy. Him or Charlotte, whoever's coaching there.
By the way, if the Warriors do happen to meet the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, expect fireworks. Lou Dort is not among the top three Defensive Player of the Year finalists.
Well, and neither was Amen Thompson.
But Draymond Green was. And they asked Isaiah Hartenstein about it. About Lou Dort. Hey, Lou Dort's not a finalist. What do you think of that? And he goes, well, maybe I should do a podcast with Lou Dort. And then he's certain to make the top three. You know any DPOY candidate that does a podcast? We got a rivalry brewing, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I can guarantee that's going to be brought up on Draymond's next podcast, if and when they advance.
I'm tired.
Who was that?
That's Draymond.
He said what?
I'm tired. I just want to go home.
It was a lack of grit.
It was a lack of grit.
Not in this series.
All right, coming up on the other side, we've got the crossover with Willard and Dibs, and that ought to be a lot of fun. Dibley already said hello to me, and
that's what coworkers do.
Chastise me early, although you chastised me early too.
You did it to yourself.
I'm still reeling from the Steph Curry didn't sit the whole first half of that game against Portland. 9 years ago that I can't remember.
I'm going to be honest. I've been sitting on that one for a while because you bring it up a lot. And
you know what? That's mean-spirited.
What?
I'll tell you, because.
Why
did you wait for the gotcha when you could have said at the ship, hey, Steiny, by the way, you know, Curry did play in the first half of that game that you always think he didn't. No, really? Yeah, he played 13 minutes. Remember Livingston? Oh, dude, thank you.
Do you really want me to drop dime on you? I have.
You know what? This is the old, what do I care? Drop dime, don't drop dime. It's all the same.
I'll tell you later about that game.
That segment was brought to you by Ceramani Ford. Employee pricing for all is on right now at Ceramani Ford in Colma. You pay what we pay. No markups, no nonsense. Stop by Ceramani Ford or shop 24/7 at CeramaniFord.com. Ceramani Ford, from America, for America. Hey.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.